in, and we are full of expectation of what the Lord will yet again do as it brings to fulfillment his purpose for bringing us together at this time. I would like us to pray together. Let us pray. Father, we again give you praise this morning for this new day that, Lord, in mercy, you have given unto us. We thank you for, Lord, your help that we have been knowing in this retreat since we came on Wednesday. Thank you, Lord, for how you've been guiding us from one point to another. Thank you, Lord, for your diverse instruction. Thank you, Lord, for the illuminations of our heart. Thank you for your promises. Thank you because we know you are a faithful God and you will bring to pass all that you are saying. This morning again, we are gathered before you. Our humble plea is that, Lord, you will abide with us. Our humble plea is that, God, your hand will yet be strong upon us, and that, God, you will show us your glory. As we look into your word together this morning, we pray again, speak to our hearts. We give you praise, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. I would like us to read for our devotional challenge this morning from two passages of scriptures. The first passage would be from the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36, and we shall read from verse 33 unto the end of that passage. Ezekiel chapter 36, we'll read from verse 33. I will read from the New King James Version. The scripture says, "Thus says the Lord God, on the day that I cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will also enable you to dwell in the cities, and the ruins shall be rebuilt. The desolate land shall be tilled instead of lying desolate in the sight of all who pass by." Verse 35. "So they will say, this land that was desolate has become like the garden of Eden, and the wasted desolate and the ruined cities are now fortified and inhabited. Then the nations which are left all around you shall know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted what was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it." Verse 37. "Thus says the Lord God, I will also let the house of Israel inquire of me to do this for them. I will increase their men like a flock offered as a holy sacrifices, like the flock at Jerusalem on its feast days. So shall the ruined cities be filled with flocks of men. Then they shall know that I am the Lord." Our other passage is from Acts chapter 4, Acts of the Apostles chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. I would like to just read from verse 23 to verse 31. Acts 4. 23 to verse 31. "And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea, and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, Why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly, against your holy servant, Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and may he minister to our hearts as we share together this morning. This morning, I'll be looking at our need to press on for the fulfillment of Rehoboth. Pressing on to realize this Rehoboth. We thank God that as we came since Wednesday, and for some of us much earlier in the preparation for the retreat, God has declared to us and among us that he is bringing us into a Rehoboth. The Lord has said that as individuals, there's a Rehoboth for us. As a church of God, as God's people, there's a Rehoboth. And by the help of the Holy Spirit, as we turn to him in this retreat, he has been leading us from point to point with instruction. He had come to say, don't go down to Egypt. There's a purpose of God ahead of each of our lives. He had exhorted and encouraged us that famine, whatever pressure, difficulty, must not move us out of the will of God. The Lord went further to show us how that in his determinate counsel, every children of the kingdom, he has ordained that they should be sown, that as seed, and that is no other place but in this world, in the field of this world. God again progressively began to instruct us diversely. He has enabled us to begin to pray, to call on his name in different manners. But this morning, as I pray, a matter the Lord just laid in my heart that I failed to share with us. First, beginning from that passage in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36. Again, just as God has been instructing us, we see God making a promise. The promise of revival. The promise of restoration. In that verse 33, it says, thus says the Lord God, on the day that I cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will also enable you to dwell in the cities, and the ruins shall be rebuilt. One of the comforting things that I found as God's word has been coming to us in this retreat, particularly when we came to that Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the tares, that it is the Son of Man himself that is planting. And even yesterday, as reference was made to Isaiah chapter 61, it says he has been anointed to give beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. It says that we may be trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. I see God again showing us his will, showing us his counsel as he began to declare to his people. He said, I will also enable you to dwell in the cities, and the ruins shall be built. God began to promise a restoration. He began to promise a revival. God began to speak of a fruitfulness, the kind that will cause those that are neighbors around the people to marvel. If you see with me, in verse 35, it says, so they will say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden. And the wasted, desolate, and ruined cities are now fortified and inhabited. Then the nations which are left all around you, verse 36, shall know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted what was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Hallelujah. We see God speaking emphatically. I have spoken it. I will do it. I have spoken it. I will do it. We have a sure promise. The dealings of God with us over the years is enough an encouragement to know that God is not joking. The Bible says, he's not a man that he should lie, neither is he the son of man that he should. What he has said, he will bring it to pass. So again, as God has been speaking of his purpose, he has been speaking that there's a railroad ahead of each of our lives, a railroad ahead of his church that we have come into, a place where God is making room for us to be fruitful, with deep assurance that it is he who plants. It is said, I, the Lord, am the one that will do it. I will do it. And for me, that's a great encouragement. But beyond that, we saw God also showing us the basis for this promise. When God led us through Genesis chapter 26, we saw there, and that has been referred to over and over, when God said, he came to Isaac and said, don't go down, because I will bless you, because this land I will give to your descendants. He gave a reason. He said, because of Abraham. Because Abraham obeyed my voice. But God, again, has reiterated to us the basis for this Rehoboth. You will recall that some past MLR, we came to a message, the basis of our expectation. And last night, when God used his servant, Brother Dennis, to lead us to that Psalm 2, Psalm 110, and Psalm 8, my mind went back to that message. God was showing that despite all that is going around in our world, despite all the challenges we are facing, his commitment to his son stands. We learned that time that God said, because there's an oath, there's a vow that he has made to his son, we have reason to believe him for what he is saying. We have reason to expect this great move that God is talking about. Now, but as I began to wait on the Lord as to, Lord, what is it that we yet must know? The Holy Spirit led me to that verse 37. And that will be the focus of the little exhortation that I sense God wants me to share with us as we trust him to bless it in our heart together. If you look at that verse 37 of Ezekiel 36, the scripture says, thus says the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God. Earlier on, he has spoken of his promises. He has spoken of the fruitfulness that shall be. He has spoken of the ruins that will be built. He has spoken of the desolation that he was going to take away. But then the Bible says, thus says the Lord God, I will also let the house of Israel inquire of me to do this for them. I will increase men like a flock offered as holy sacrifices, like the flock at Jerusalem on his feast days. So shall the ruined cities be filled with flocks of men. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. while God has instructed us yesterday morning as the path into Rehoboth, and we are reminded of the importance of our discipleship, that for fruitfulness, there's a pruning. One other matter I sense God wants us as his people to note for the realization of this Rehoboth, whether for our lives personally or for the church of God in our location or for our nation. I saw the Lord giving yet a further instruction. He said, I will let the house of Israel inquire of me to do this for them. In the Old King James Version, it says, for this shall I yet be inquired of by the house of Israel, that I may do it for them. It's wonderful that God has made a promise. It's wonderful that God has spoken of a Rehoboth for each of our lives, a Rehoboth for the body of Christ, a Rehoboth for the nations where we are dwelling in. God has spoken of planting us as trees of righteousness in whatever space we are occupying. We've been crying yesterday during the opera that we will not be misplaced, that each of us will locate ourselves properly in the place that God has appointed us, whether in the pulpit, whether in the business world, in the marketplace. Now, but I see something as a realization of this, an instruction God is given. For this shall I yet be inquired of by the house of Israel, that I may do it for them. It's touching me, and as I look through the word of God, I see a dimension that when God makes promises, part of our partnership with him is to inquire this, to inquire of him, to seek his face for its fulfillment, is to pray it down. He has made a promise with great certainty. He said, I will do it. I will do it. Yet the Holy Spirit says, thus says the Lord God, I will yet for this matter, for this Rehoboth, for this restoration, for this revival, for this abiding and abundant fruitfulness that God wants to bring to each of our lives. He said, I will yet be inquired that I may do it for them. One of the things that the Holy Spirit impressed this on my heart this morning, as by God's grace, we are coming gradually to the close of this retreat today, I see where God is showing us, each of us, to step into, whether as disciples in the different locations and nations that we are, whether as God's people from wherever that God in his mercy has included in this. He has assured our hearts already that you are being blessed in Christ. Because you are a seed of Abraham, this concerns you. But what is he saying? I will yet be inquired of. I will ask you, I will desire that you seek my face for the fulfillment of this. It appears to me, for each of our lives, to bring this down, we must engage God. In the nations where we occupy, God cannot lie. His word is true, but he's showing us the principle. And as I look at the history of revival, genuine promises of God's visitation, as we've been taught in the time past, is ever preceded by prayers of the saints. I see, as we look through the word of God, God says, there's a Rehoboth, but there's something I want you to partner with me in, that it may be fulfilled, that I may do it. He's the one that will do it, but he's seeking his people to look to him for his fulfillment, to look to him for him to bring to pass the promise that he's making. My dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, as your humble servant, very unworthy, I felt with all fear and trembling as I was asked to bring this, But in mercy, I see God bringing a counsel. Can we trust God heretofore to engage him? First, in our personal life, when the word of God was coming yesterday at the devotion, and the reference was made, some brought fruit in 30-fold, some in 60, some in 100, and issues were being raised. I felt challenged again. The need for my own life to be fruitful. Now, what the Holy Spirit is saying is there's a promise. I want to do it. For Isaac, for a while, it left hanging. But as he walked with God, there was a fulfillment. And I'm sensing again that God is saying, as we press on for the realization of this, he will have us inquire of it. So that personally, for this Rehoboam to be a reality with me, I must engage God. I have a promise. We have his promise. We can count on that promise. But his instruction is, I will yet let the house of Israel inquire of me that I may do this for them. As you look back to the scriptures, the first coming of the Lord, the word of God showed us, we don't have time to look, but I want to depend on our knowledge of the scriptures as well. There was a Simeon waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Messiah had been promised that he was going to come. But we are taught from God's word, somebody stood there waiting for his fulfillment. Oh, and what a blessedness that while so many others could not see what God was doing, because the fulfillment of the promise presently is just like a baby. But a man who was in tune with God, a man who was inquiring of the Lord, a man who is saying, Lord, this is your promise. You have said it must be fulfilled now. God engaged him. God said, you won't die. You will see this Messiah. And the Bible says, being led of the Spirit of God, he came into that temple. He held the baby in his hand. He said, now I can go in peace. As the Lord began to speak to us that whether old or young, in Christ Jesus, this Rehoboam is for us. This Rehoboam is the promise that God has made. But I see him saying, the house of Israel must yet inquire of the Lord for it. As by God's grace, this retreat will be going, as will be concluding as it were today, I see a matter. May the Lord send us help that individually you will yet inquire of the Lord for this. In our different discipleship centers, that we will not rest until we keep seeing this fruitfulness God is speaking about, abiding, abounding, and abundant. That we will stop at nothing. We've been challenged not to be narrow-minded, to enlarge our heart. But I see a dimension God is speaking. For this realization, he has promised he cannot fail, but he say, ask me for it. As I look into God's word, it looks to me that every visitation is battered by prayer. It is carried on and sustained by prayer. And it looks like it will reach its end by prayer. Now, I refer to the book of Acts, chapter 4, because, again, that came to mind. Please go back with me to that Acts, chapter 4, as I will be concluding very shortly, trusting the Lord that this little bit that is asking us to share together, it will make it wholesome in our spirit. Now, in that passage, I reckon that we are conversant with the story, with the context of that passage. Here were God's people that have been discipled, that have been set apart, that were meant to be fruitful, to carry that Christ life, to proclaim this Jesus and him crucified. And a move began. Again, you will recall that after the Lord had given them that instruction, after he told them that not many days from now, you'll be visited. Tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. The Bible says the angel came to them and said, what to do now is not to gaze. It's not to stand gazing. You have a promise. You've been prepared. But what to do now is not to gaze. The Bible said they departed into the upper room. Both men and women were praying. It will appear if the Lord has made a promise. We should just wait. No, there's something to do. They engage in prayer. And you recall that it was from there the blessing, the visitation they spoke about came. And in one day, 3,000 souls were vested for God. But as they forged on, I'm just seeing also, they will yet need to inquire of the Lord. They will yet need to speak to God about this fruitfulness for which he had prepared their life. This fruitfulness that he is seeking upon the earth. Now the Bible says they were threatened. They were threatened. The people said, don't speak to us in that name any longer. Leaders threatened them. But my concern now is from what followed thereafter. It was battered in prayer. It was battered in continuous inquiry from the Lord. But I'm saying, to reach its end, for it not to be damned, for them not to come short continually, it has to be by prayer. It has to be by continually speaking to God to further it on. I'm just challenged again this morning that whether in our personal lives, whether where God has located us, whether the space he has given us to occupy, he has promised a Rehoboth, but he said, for this Rehoboth, I will yet be inquired of that I may do it. Now, Tom, if you look at that Acts chapter 4, two issues that touch my heart. You will discover that when they came to their companion and they rehearsed what the people had said, the scripture says, when they heard it, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said. Again, they began to quote Psalm 2. You will recall that through the servant of God some times ago when we were looking at that message, the basis of our expectation. You will recall he said then that every time God is said to move again, these psalms reoccur. Every time God is visiting the earth again, this psalm reoccur. And when our brother, Uncle Dennis, was speaking yesterday night, and he led us there as the Lord guided him, again, I saw God join our heart to a matter. The basis for this, they declared it, say, you are God. Despite the contradictions, despite the conspiracy of the kingdom of darkness, despite all that is all around us, he is God. And he has spoken concerning his son. Now, but I saw that when they received threat, and it will look like what God began was going to be done, there was only one thing they could do. As they came to their companion, I saw that the first matter was not the strategy. It was to call on the Lord. For this shall I yet be inquired of, that I may do it for them. And you saw how they reported the matter to the Lord. And they spoke to the Lord, said, look upon their threats in verse 29. And grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. They inquired of the Lord. There is that God wants to do, but they turned to him continually. The work began in prayer. It is being carried on continually in prayer. I was touched in verse 31, the phrase that has blessed my heart, it says, and when they had prayed. And when they had prayed. Whatever you see following, God will grant it. But the Holy Spirit says, and when they had prayed. When they had prayed, my dear brothers and sisters in the Lord this morning, whether for our lives, whether for the nations we represent, whether for the fields we occupy, I see the Lord again saying, say, thus says the Lord God, for this Rehoboth to be fulfilled is hanging. Fruitfulness is promised for our lives. A restoration, a revival of the body of Christ is promised for our lives, for the nation, for the church. For God says, for this will I yet be inquired of the Lord, that I may do it for them. It says, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaking. You know, if you go through the book of Acts on and on, this is a repeated thing. When in Acts chapter 6, the challenge of administration of this move was coming upon them, again, you saw how they says, no, it is not reasonable. It is not correct that we abandon this that God has showed us. They administered, they chose to say, choose men full of the Holy Spirit that we may give charge over this thing. But they said, we will devote ourselves. We will commit ourselves unto prayer and to the ministry of the Word of God. I'm saying again, God is saying he will have us inquire of him that he may do it for us. My prayer is that the spirit of prayer and supplication will come upon each of our lives. The spirit of prayer and supplication will come upon us as companies of disciples here and there, so that this that God is speaking about may be a fulfillment in each of our lives, in our day, as it were, by the grace of God. One last thing that came to my heart that I thought I should leave with us as we now pray together, from the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. In Daniel chapter 9, again, that may be a passage we are very familiar with, just verse 2 and 3. Daniel 9, verse 2 and 3. It says, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he will accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Verse 3. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Let me stop there. Two matters related to what we're sharing together this morning that I want to point out. Again, Daniel came at a promise of restoration that God made. But I am touched by a matter, which is an issue that I sense, even as we pray, we need to consider. It says, I understood. I understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord. I perceive what God has been using our leaders to do is to guide us by his counsel to understand God's mind for now. To understand the will of God for now. Again, my heart goes back to that Genesis 26. The scripture says the Lord spoke to Isaac. Why am I referring to this? It appears to me this kind of prayer, this kind of inquiry for this that God is speaking, it demands that God, that we first have an understanding of what God is offering us. An understanding of what God is laying before us. When you read Acts chapter 13, there was a very unfortunate thing. It was Paul that was speaking. Permit me not to go there, but some of us may be able to know that reference, Acts 13. As he was speaking, it says, our leaders, the rulers and the people, they did not know Jesus, nor the voice of the prophets that was speaking, and so they crucified him. There's a voice speaking. There's that the Holy Spirit is saying. And there's a need, if we will step into and pursue what God is talking about, they need to understand the voice of the prophets. Last night when Uncle Dennis was speaking and he said, you can't be in between. You know, he said, there's a party of the Lord is inviting us to join. That you can't be in between. You are either on the Lord's side or you're on the other way. You are either being sown into the world as a seed of the kingdom or you are a tear. But I was looking at what is the issue that limited these people as far as the word of God is concerned. They did not know the voice of the prophets. Daniel could get into verse 3 because he said, I understood. What God is speaking, I understood. My dear brothers and sisters, as God is speaking of this Rehoboth, has it come to you? Is this counsel of the Lord? Is it coming to you? Is the Lord bringing clarity? Where there's no understanding, we must pray for understanding. Where there's no insight yet as to what God is saying, we must pray for it so that our hearts are correctly mobilized to seek the face of God. I see that my time is finishing and I sense a need for us to pray. This little bit that God is allowing us to share together this morning, I pray that it will mix with faith in all of our hearts. I pray that that word that God is saying that we should do, it will grant us grace, personally, collectively, to step into it, that it may bring to pass what he has said. While we carry along all the other instructions of our discipleship, while God is challenging us on the need to dig our roots and be deep in the Lord, to have the root of our being in Christ Jesus, I see him saying, prayer must go on. For this shall I yet be inquired of the Lord that I may, shall I yet be inquired of the house of Israel that I may do it for them. Wherever you are this morning, will you like us to pray together? Will you like us to speak to God together this morning? The promise is true. God has spoken continually. He has spoken in a very affirmative way. He has said he has brought us into something. If it is not him, nothing else could have happened. But he's the one who said, he said, I, the Lord, will do it. He has shown us that it is he who plants. It has shown us that we are meant to be trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, so that he may be glorified. But this one thing is asking, for this Rehoboth, for this fruitfulness, for this restoration, will I yet be inquired of by the house of Israel that I may do it for them? Can we bow our heads wherever we are as we speak to the Lord together this morning? First, I would like us to pray. I saw Daniel said, as I understood by the books, as God's word was set clearly before me, as the promise of God became clear to me, as the inheritance God wants me to step into became clear to my spirit, I set myself to pray. I set myself to hold on to God for the fulfillment of it. Will you like to pray, my brother and sister, that God will grant to us understanding of what he's saying? I perceive that's not a small matter. You will know, for even the disciples, as close as they were with Jesus, part of the challenge they had for a while is understanding of where the Lord is going. Can we plead with God this morning? Lord, this promise, it must not end as a mere slogan to me. This promise must not end as a mere program to me. The reality of it, Lord, I want to come in. So give me understanding. An understanding that drives me to believe you, to hold on to you until it is fulfilled. Shall we pray? Shall we pray? Please take a moment to speak to God. Take a moment to talk to God this morning. Take a moment And I'll be asking Brother Victor Omololu to please take over from this and guide us to pray over this. Please take some moment to please pray about this. Let's pray that individually, God will mobilize our hearts. Let's pray that in countries where we are located, that this promise will touch down in our places, in our location. Let's pray that the church of God, whatever denomination we have come from, that God has said there's something he's doing for his church now, not because of ourselves, but because of Christ. Because of his commitment to his son, we can expect it. Can we pray? Can we please pray? Brother Victor, please guide us further as we talk to God now. Thank you.
Shall we keep praying?